Merry Christmas, man. Man, Thanksgiving was really late this year. Anybody really thrown off that you've just been thrown off the whole year? Just newsflash, this is the last weekend before Christmas. Do y'all know that? Just to make clear, like, if you don't have gifts now, you better get on it. My wife and I are actually, you may see us out and about in the Tri-Cities tonight. We're doing some last-minute shopping tonight. And man, I hope you're having a great Christmas season so far. It is so good to be with you. I'm glad that you got to make it this morning. It's a little warm outside, which is great. Here's three things that I want to invite you into over the next couple days, all right? So y'all, listen up. Three things, just three things. You know, the wise men brought some gifts. We think there's three wise men, even though we don't know. I don't know why we sing three wise men. By the way, that's not necessarily biblical. Did I just burst somebody's bubble, by the way? I'm just playing. I'm just really messing with you. I don't know where I'm at today. But three things that I want to invite you into and ask you. Number one is, as Gina mentioned early in the service, we're going to be having thousands of people come on Tuesday evening to gather together. And so if you have not RSVP'd, we would ask that you would do that today. You can even get your phone out right now and put how many people in what service. And secondly, though, as we have so many people coming in, some for the first time, some have never been in church before, this will be the only opportunity, we want to host them really well, as Gina said. And so if you're available to serve one other service, we would love to give you the opportunity to express the love of God in a very real way on Tuesday night. So that's number one. Man, RSVP, sign up to serve. Number two, as we recognize this season of the year is a season where people are going to be more apt to say yes if you invite them to church. So Easter, a lot of people will say yes, but Christmas, there's just a season that people are more open to the things of God. And so you know our heart. Like, our heart is not to grow a massive church. That's not our endeavor. That's not our number thing. We're not that kind of church. But here's what we recognize is that when people are invited to church and come and hear the transforming message of Jesus, life can be birthed. Anybody get excited about that besides me? Anybody excited about that? And so I would ask you, even today, maybe while I'm preaching, somebody will be dropped into your mind. Shoot them a text, give them a phone call. At work the next couple of days, man, invite somebody to say, hey, I'll save a seat for you. Meet me at this service. And I believe there's potential that somebody could walk in the kingdom even as we gather on Christmas Eve. And that gets me really, really excited. And thirdly, and honestly, this is the most important to me, is here's what I want to invite you into, is over the next couple of days, I want you to be really, really, really present. Can we just take a deep breath? Doesn't that feel good during the Christmas season? We don't do that very often, right? And so over the next couple of days, listen, we're going to have holy moments all over the place. Holy moments where we gather around a table with some friends and family, and I want you to be there and be present. Enjoy the fellowship. Enjoy the flavors of the food and the drink. Enjoy where you're at. If you're shopping for kids like I'm going to be, you know, I'm going to be aware of my bank account for sure, but I'm also going to be aware of the time that I have with my wife in this beautiful season, right? If you're sitting at home and you're having some time with the Lord, I want you to be fully present to what Jesus is trying to show you in this season. And for some of us, I know that this season maybe is the first time you're having Christmas without a loved one, somebody you love deeply. Maybe things didn't turn out quite in 2019 like you would hope, and so this season's a little hard. And I would say even in our pain, even in our loss, let's be present to the fact that God enters into the places we don't ever expect him. And so can we just say, man, it would be really good, and I believe it's God's heart that we would all be really present to what we're doing and where we're at. Can we just say that would be good? And so, man, that's my endeavor the next couple of days. I know we're going to have a lot of things going on at the church and a busy week, but, man, I want to be present. I don't want to miss these holy moments that God has given us. Yes, the big and the wow, but also, man, these little things when I'm washing dishes or taking out the trash. Well, I want to see God in all that. Today, we're going to continue this series entitled This Holy Moment. And in this series, we've tried to unpack the story of Jesus, this holy moment where God, the creator of the universe, he stepped out of heaven and became a human being and wrapped himself in flesh and lived among us. And so as we've been looking at the story of Jesus' coming, we've been looking at the stories ahead of that and behind that. And over the last couple of weeks, we've looked at most of the people in the Christmas story. We looked at Jesus. Of course, you can't have Jesus because Jesus is the reason for the... Come on, y'all are weak. Come on. Jesus is the reason for the... Jesus. Yeah, that's a little better. And we looked at Mary and Joseph. Like, you can't have a Christmas series without talking about Mary and Joseph. We talked about Gabriel, the angel, coming and revealing what's going to be happening to several different people. We even looked at a couple characters or a couple people in the Christmas story that we don't talk about a lot, which is Zechariah and Elizabeth, the husband and wife who were older in age and they couldn't have a child. And then the angel comes and tells Zechariah, you're going to have a child. And later, John the Baptist is born miraculously, right? We talked about that. And the first week, when my friend Cody was here, he even touched on one that we hardly ever talk about. And that's the story that we read right after Jesus' birth. And a couple days later, when they go to the temple and we see Simeon, we talked about Simeon. So, man, I think we've touched almost every single person that's represented in the Christmas story. And the ones we haven't touched, we're actually going to be hitting on Christmas Eve. I'll give you a little sneak peek. We're going to talk about the wise men, and we're going to talk about the shepherds and the importance of the invitation to come to Jesus. It's a beautiful, beautiful invitation. But in the midst of this Christmas story, in the midst of this celebration of Jesus, I do think sometimes we overlook someone who is laced throughout the entire story, right before and long before, in the birth of Jesus, and then right after. And if I'm being honest, as I observe followers of Jesus, as I observe what's happened in the church, I would say that most Christians actually overlook the presence of this in their lives as well. And so here's what I want to do today. I'm going to do my best to unpack the scriptures for you as we look at the presence of someone who we oftentimes miss in the Christmas story, and that is the Holy Spirit. So we're going to look at in the midst of the whole story, the Holy Spirit being present. So if you have your Bible, if you have a phone and you got an app on it, I'd love for you to turn to Luke chapter 1. And I want to walk through some of the Christmas story, and I want to show to you in the scriptures the presence of the Holy Spirit in the whole thing, all right? So you're going to be in Luke chapter 1, but I want to start in Matthew chapter 1. This is the account that I shared last week when we looked at how Jesus came to save us from our sins, that line in there. And so this is Gabriel talking to Joseph, the father of Jesus. And so this is verse 18. It says, "Now the birth of Jesus took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed or engaged to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit." Now, this is the first time we see in the New Testament this word Holy Spirit, the first time in the story we see Holy Spirit. So here's a little clue. Every time I pause and look to you, the answer this week is not Jesus. That was last week. The answer this week is Holy Spirit, all right? So the child was from the
Holy Spirit.
Wow, first off the bat, y'all are incredible, okay? And then it goes on, it says, for her husband Joseph, being a just man, full of integrity, he was unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit." All right, so first mention of the Holy Spirit. He is present in the Christmas story all the way back to where Joseph finds out about his wife. Now, if you're in Luke chapter 1, I want you to find it with me. Now, in Luke chapter 1, before we get to the birth of Jesus, I mentioned Zechariah and Elizabeth. Now, Zechariah was a priest, and he was doing one of his duties. He had asked for a long time for them to have a child, but now they're old and they're beyond childbirthing years, and so they just assumed that him and his wife Elizabeth were not going to have a child. But this angel shows up, and he says this. Remember, he says, "Do not fear, for your prayers have been heard." Man. Have you ever felt like your prayers, I'm praying and I just feel like they're hitting the ceiling? Anybody else besides me? Or like they're just like coming out, they don't even hit the ceiling, they just fall to the floor. Anybody else ever felt that? Here's what we can rest on this morning. The truth of God here is that God has big ears. And he hears our prayers. And he's a good father. And he's working for our good even when we can't see it. And so he tells him, he says, Listen, your prayers have been heard, Zechariah, and you're going to have a son, and his name's going to be John. And look at verse 15. So he's talking about John the Baptist now. It says, "For he, the son you're going to have, will be great before the Lord, and he must not drink wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb." Now this is incredible. From his mother's womb, while he's still in gestation period, that John the Baptist is going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. This is incredible, right? And so then we move from that story and we see where Mary has this encounter with an angel. And the angel tells her, "Listen, Mary, you're going to conceive a son and you're going to name him Jesus. And like I like to joke around, Mary was like, whoa, 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 what? What? And honestly, I think we can relate, right? How many times have we felt like in our spirit, God has said something and we're like, no, God, that's not possible. Anybody else ever said that to God? I've said that lots of times to God, unfortunately. That's not possible. Like, God, humanly, I can't see how you're going to save my marriage. Like, God, I can't see how you're going to bring my salvation to my child. I can't see how you're going to use this thing in my life for good. I can't see it. And so we assume that because we can't see it, that God can't see it. But what Mary finds out, she's like, whoa, 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 how can that be? And the angel gives us such a beautiful picture of God's heart in this moment. His response was, Mary, listen, shh, shh, listen. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called holy, the Son of God. See, as we're celebrating Christmas, as we see the nativity downtown and we think about Jesus in a manger and we think about Jesus being born and wrapped in swaddling clothes and silent night, what we need to remember is that apart from the Spirit of God working in the Christmas story, there is no Jesus. There's no celebration of Christmas. There's no lights that later came. There's no Santa Claus that later came. There is Santa Claus kids in here, but there is none. If there wasn't for, parents, you're welcome, for the Holy Spirit's presence on the earth, that through the Holy Spirit, Jesus was conceived in his mother. Are y'all tracking with me? There's no birth of Jesus if there was not a conception, and that conception happened only because the Spirit of God came upon Mary. And then we continue on the story. We see Elizabeth is now pregnant, like the angel said. And now we see Mary, who said, how in the world? And then she got pregnant, and now she's pregnant. And Mary wanted to be with some family members. And so she takes a little trip, and she goes to see Elizabeth. And Elizabeth is carrying John the Baptist, who's filled with... Okay, y'all are tracking with me, okay? So he's filled with the Holy Spirit. And in verse 41, it says, and when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary... Knock, 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 it's Mary. When she heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her. John the Baptist, filled with the Holy Spirit, leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Whew. Spirit of God moving all throughout this Christmas story. Now that's the mother of John the Baptist. Now, what about the father? When John was born, finally, 9 months after Zechariah had this encounter. He was silent, remember, because of his doubt, and he was able to speak. And in verse 67, look what happened. It says, and his father, this is John the Baptist's father, Zechariah, was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied. And he went on to proclaim truth about who his son would be, that he would be the one that makes a way for one that would come after him. And he even prophesies a little bit about Jesus, not even knowing the fullness of what he was prophesying. He did so because he was what? Filled with the Holy Spirit all throughout the Christmas story. Now, chapter 2 of Luke, we're going to look at on Christmas Eve, the story of the shepherds coming and the angels coming. But then a few days after the birth of Jesus, it was customary to take the babies to the temple. And so in chapter 2, verse 25, it says, now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by who? Holy Spirit, that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought him the child, Jesus, to do for him according to the custom of the law, Simeon took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace. According to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, that you are prepared in the presence of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles. Can we all say amen to that? It's not just for the Jews, it's for the Gentiles. That's why we're here. And for the glory to your people, Israel. Man, you see, 9 times right around the story of Christmas that we're celebrating, and yet we overlook the presence of the Spirit so often, but 9 times specifically, we see that the Spirit is active and in the midst of the story that we're celebrating, this Jesus coming to earth. Now, here's the one truth. If you don't hear any other truth, I want you to write this down if you're taking notes, is this truth. God's desires are moved to earth through the Holy Spirit. Heaven's heart, the will of God, the purposes of God that are in heaven, that are not on this earth, they are moved from heaven to earth through the Holy Spirit. We have to see this today. And my hope is that I'm going to break down some scripture for you and build a case study to legitimize this one statement that God desires for all time and in time in the future is that he would move his heart from heaven to earth through the Holy Spirit. Now, I've got a slide that's a little busier than I like to put on there, but I did this because I would love for you to take a picture of this, okay? So if you have your phone or if you're taking notes, you can write down, but there's a lot of things on this, but I want to give you this for a little homework if you want to take this and unpack this further this week. And so if you want to take this, you can, but God moving through the Spirit is something that we see all throughout the scriptures. From creation all the way back in Genesis 1 and 2, it says that God created the heavens and the earth. This is how the scriptures open up, and it says that the earth was without form. It was void, some say darkness, that there was just nothingness there. And in chapter 1, verse 2, it says that the Spirit of God was hovering over the water. Do you know why the Spirit of God was hovering over the water? Because God's desire was to create the universe that you and I now live in. And guess who was bringing that to reality? Oh, you're a little slow here. Come on now. Guess who brought God's heart and desire, his will? Guess who brought that to reality? The Holy Spirit, right? He's hovering over the water. From the very beginning, God's heart was made a reality through the work of the Holy Spirit. Now I could go unpack Old Testament text after Old Testament. Let's fast forward to Jesus. I just shared with you. Listen, it was God's heart that he would send his son. That's why in John 3:16, we see that God so loved the world that he sent his only son. See, the father's heart, the heaven's heart was to send his son. And he did that through what? Through the Holy Spirit. Because how was Jesus conceived? Through the Holy Spirit. The will of the Father, the desire of the Father was brought to fulfillment through the power of the Spirit, even in the birth of Jesus. But it wasn't just the birth of Jesus, it was the life of Jesus. Man, the life of Jesus, we've talked a lot about that over this series. But one of the things that he did was came to reveal the Father. And he did that perfectly, time and time again. And what we see, if we look through the rest of this text, if you have your Bible, you can flip through real quick. So in chapter 3 of Luke, right after the story of Jesus, he's now older. And John the Baptist, the one who was filled with the Spirit from his mother, he comes in, and I call John the Baptist Jesus' fullback, right? Because he made the way for the running back, Jesus, to come in and do his thing. And so John the Baptist says, listen, there's one coming who's greater than me. Whose sandals I can't even get down and untie. And listen, I will baptize you with water. This is what John the Baptist is. I baptize you with water, but the one coming after me, he will baptize you with what? Fire and the Holy Spirit. This is what John said about Jesus. And then Jesus was water baptized by John. I love that. Set the tone for us and the model for us. And then as Jesus comes out of the water at the Jordan River, the heavens open up. The Spirit of God comes and descends in the form of a dove on Jesus. And the Father says, this is my beloved Son, whom I'm well pleased. Oh, see, the life of Jesus was marked with the Spirit, but then it wasn't just done there. It says that he was led by the Spirit because Jesus was full of the Spirit into the wilderness. He was tempted and tried 40 days fasting, and then in verse 14 it says that Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. This is Jesus. This is our Messiah. This is the one that we follow. And then a little bit later, Jesus is walking in town, and it's the day where he's supposed to go into the temple. And so I don't know how big the temple was at that time. I really don't. I've not been to Israel. I'm hoping to go soon. But there was a temple, and Jesus goes in, and every day there was a specific scripture from the Old Testament that was going to be read. And today in history, when Jesus, what we're going to read is that scripture reading was Isaiah 61. So Jesus gets up. He comes up. I don't know if he had a scroll. I don't know what version of the Bible Jesus was using, but that was a joke, by the way. It was the original language. No fighting over which one you like. Verse 18, this is what Jesus reads from Isaiah 61. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives, recovering sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And then Jesus sat it down, went back to sit. I don't know if Jesus was a front row guy or back row. I don't know what he was at that time. But he says, what you've just heard has been fulfilled in your listening. And what was Jesus saying in that moment? He was saying, listen, I've come to reveal the Father. I've come to do the will of the Father. And how did Jesus say that he was going to do that? Through the anointing of the Holy Spirit that was upon him, right? And we see this time and time again in Jesus' life, whether it was through healings, whether it's through knowing things, Jesus brought the will of the Father through the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit in his life. Now we can look at Jesus' life, but let me talk to about something else here that I believe that we see that the heaven's heart, the Father's heart is brought to earth through this, and that's through salvation. Oh my goodness, salvation. Being saved from our sins. Do you know it's God's desire that none should perish? Somebody said amen. Come on, just somebody preach a little bit, right? Like that truth that God's desire, his heart, is that none should perish, but everyone would turn to him, that everybody's mind would be aligned with the mind of God. That's his desire. And so how do we take that desire from heaven and make it a reality? It's through the Holy Spirit. That's why when Nicodemus came to Jesus and said, Jesus, in John chapter 3, he said, how do I become a great teacher like you? It was actually somewhat of a selfish reason he wanted to meet with Jesus. And Jesus, you know, does his Jesus kung fu stuff, and he changes the conversation. And he says, listen, if you want to enter the kingdom of God, you have to be born again. Now, Nicodemus is like, Jesus, like, I'm a grown man, and anatomy doesn't work that way. So how do I do that? And I don't know about that. And Jesus says this, listen, you got to be born of water and of spirit. He said, you can't enter the kingdom of God unless you're born of the Spirit. So what we see is that even salvation, which is God's desire for all of us, and even the people you don't like, this is God's desire, that reality of salvation that moves from heaven to earth is a work of the Holy Spirit. You can't have even a thought that, man, maybe I need to know this Jesus apart from the Holy Spirit. You can't get to the point where I say, man, I want to place my faith and I want to follow Jesus Christ apart from the work of the Holy Spirit. You can't have your butt in church apart from the Holy Spirit and maybe your wife. I don't know about that, right? It's God, all of it. Listen, this is why he says that no one can boast. None of us can boast in our salvation. That was me. You can't say, look at me, I chose Jesus. No. It was the Spirit of God that was moving in your life. You just said yes. Come on, man. This is God's heart for you, and it's through the power of the Holy Spirit. But what we also know about God's heart, and we see time and time in the scripture, that his desire from an early on, before he created the world, was that he would have a people that he would draw together, that would gather together to worship him. We call that the church. You know, the church is his idea. I'm not talking about Christ Fellowship Church. I'm talking about the big church. And what we see is that God's desire for a people seen as the church was brought a reality by the Spirit of God. When did the church come? We just sang a song about it. Acts chapter 2, Pentecost. The Spirit of God was poured out for the first time ever. And as the Spirit was poured out, Peter gets boldness. He goes out. He preaches an incredible message. And 3,000 people placed their faith in Jesus that day. And the church was born because a man had a good idea. Because there was a group of people that said, hey, let's put a vision together. No, because the Spirit brought what was happening in heaven to earth. And they co-labored with him to make it happen. This is God's heart. Now, if you have your Bible, I want you to turn to Acts chapter 2, because there's a really important thing that I want us to see as we're talking about the Spirit's role in this Christmas story. In Acts chapter 2, towards the end of Peter's incredible sermon that he was given with great boldness, he said something here. So he's preaching, and it says in verse 37, chapter 2, it says, now when they heard this, they were cut to their heart, and they said to Peter and the rest of the disciples, or apostles, brothers, what shall we do? So they had just heard about Jesus. They'd heard about what he had done, the crucifixion, the resurrection. And they say, well, what do we need to do? And look at the response in verse 38. It says, and Peter said to them, repent. That word gets a bad rap, but it means change your mind. Change your mind. What you're thinking about God is wrong. What you're thinking about Jesus is wrong. Change your mind to align with this truth. That's what he's saying. He says, change your mind and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive, it wasn't you might receive, you will receive the gift of the, and y'all are still so good here. Verse 39, for the promise of the Holy Spirit is for you and for your children and for all who are afar off, everyone whom the Lord God calls to himself. Now listen, this is incredible news for us today as we're sitting here. Listen, the gift of the Holy Spirit we see right here is the promise that was for those that he was talking to. So thousands of people were there, and he could have been looking in the audience and saying, hey, it's for you. It's for you, but it's not just for you. It's also for your children. Those that are not here, it's for your children too. But then he says this statement, and oh Lord, may we get this. He said, but it's also for all those that are afar off. And you know what we are, people? Afar off, thousands of years after Peter made this incredible message, we're still reading about it today because it pertains to us. All of those people and us, it says that we will receive the promise of the Holy Spirit. Now what we see here in this text is a very peculiar and interesting thing. It says that they would receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Everybody say gift. Gift of the Holy Spirit. And what I want you to see is that the early church, they saw the Holy Spirit as the gift. They weren't like, oh, the Holy Spirit's this. They didn't have all these doctrinal arguments about who's the Holy Spirit and what's he do. They saw the Holy Spirit as a gift. You know why they saw it as a gift? Because they valued the Holy Spirit and they recognized their need for the Holy Spirit. And I think it was such a gift to them because in this time, you got to remember, Pentecost had just happened. The Spirit was given. They lived in a day where there was not Pentecost, and then they had Pentecost, and then they experienced life with the Spirit poured out. So they knew life before the Spirit, and they knew life with the Spirit. And because of that dynamic, there was such a recognition of the gift that they were given that you and I, we don't have that perspective. We were born into a season of history where the Spirit's already been here, but they didn't. But I'll tell you the second reason why I think they saw the Spirit as a gift. And that's because Jesus had told them some things about the Spirit. Jesus said something like this in John 16. He said, it's better that I leave you, that I could send the Helper, the Holy Spirit. Or towards the end of Jesus' life, he said, listen, guys, I've taught you a lot of things. I've showed you how I pray, how I heal, how I raise the dead, how I cast out demons. I've showed you all this. And actually, you've already done it. But listen, don't go anywhere. Don't go out to the world. Don't do this until you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, the power of God from high. Don't go anywhere. And so because of this, they recognize the Spirit as a gift. And what I love about Jesus when he taught us, he also taught that the Spirit was a gift. The last verse I want you to look at is Luke chapter 11. It's where I want to land today, talking about the Spirit as a gift. And Jesus, he recognized the Holy Spirit as a gift. This is Luke chapter 11, verse 9, it says, and I tell you, this is Jesus speaking, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be open. That's so encouraging to us. Keep knocking, keep asking. And then verse 11, it says, what father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of giving him a fish, give him a serpent? Or if you ask him for an egg, we'll give him a scorpion. If you then, who are evil, which, don't you love that about Jesus? He's just calling, hey, you guys are jacked up. If you guys that have some bad thoughts and don't always do things right, for sure, every one of us, he says, if you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those that ask him? Whew. And so I was thinking about gifts this week. As I said, my wife and I still got a few shopping to do. So I was thinking about gifts and I was thinking about how my kids, the different ways they've responded to the gifts I bought them over the years. And you know, you get a different mix almost every year, kind of. But there's a couple different things I've seen as a dad who deeply loves my kids and wants them to enjoy getting gifts. Sometimes I would give my kid a gift, and they would take it, they would unwrap it, and I would get so excited, and then they'd put it down. As soon as they unwrapped it, they saw it, they put it down, and they go and play with something else. Now that's okay sometimes, but here's what really gets on my nerves with kids sometimes. Like, usually the gift I give them later is the most expensive gift because we crescendo, you know, we kind of get to that big moment. And so the most expensive gift I give them, I'm like looking forward to give it to them that they would, and it's oftentimes they sit that down and they go and play with the stocking stuffer that cost me $2. And I'm like, what are you doing? Go play with the toy I spent so much money on, right? But that's kids. That's how they respond to gifts sometimes. But sometimes I've given my kids gifts, And they've taken the gift, and they didn't read the instructions. Anybody else ever have kids like that? No instructions, you just figure it out. And sometimes that works out, but sometimes my kids take the gift that I gave them, and I know how it's supposed to work. But they take the gift, and they mess around, and they get a little bit of enjoyment out, and usually they end up breaking it, right? You guys know what I'm talking about. And they never actually get to enjoy the fullness of the gift that I gave them. And then there's a third option. Sometimes I give my kids a gift, and they take it, they unwrap it, they play with it, they play with it, they play with it. And then a couple days later, if I'm lucky, maybe a couple hours, like they're done with that, totally forget about that, and they're on to something new, or they're asking for something else. Anybody else ever experienced that? Yeah? Come on, parents, we're in this together. It's okay, we can get through a couple more days, right? And so that's reality. This has happened. But here is what I think every parent desires. This is what I believe that every parent desires. This is what I want. I want to give my kids a gift one day where as they open it, their eyes glisten and they see it and they begin to cry and they set it down and they come over and give mommy and daddy a big hug and they say, "Man, you guys are so generous. Dad, there's no one else like you. Mom, you are better than them all, better than the Proverbs 31 lady even." And that they hug me and that they take my gift and they enjoy it and they don't put it on the shelf and forget about it. They don't leave it outside and they enjoy it for the entire year until the next time I buy them a gift and I give it to them and they respond. Doesn't every parent want that, right? Now, here at this point, honestly, my kids are a little older. I would just take a thank you and play with it a couple days. But we have this picture of what we want, right? And listen, he says, listen, you being evil, whew, come on, Jesus, speak truth to us. He said, "You guys know how to give good gifts to your kids. Like, I want to give good gifts to my kids." He said, "How much more will your heavenly Father give a good gift, the gift of the Spirit, to those that ask?" And so as I was thinking about this, I think there's honestly a lot of correlation between how kids respond and how we respond to the gift that God gives us. Because we're all still kids at heart, right? Right? Some of us don't grow out of that as much. And so I think sometimes the Father wants to give Derek a gift, and the gift is the Holy Spirit. We know that. And what happens in our life sometimes, we are saved. Man, I place my faith in Jesus. And I know from Ephesians 1:18 that says that I'm sealed now with the Spirit of God. And man, that's incredible. Man, my ticket's punched to heaven, and so I'm good. And so I take the gift that God has given me, and then I set it down, and then I go do whatever else I do. Maybe it's in Bible studies. Maybe it's doing things at the church. I don't know what it is. But I get my life so filled up that I forget the reality of that I've been given a gift because I'm so consumed with everything else that everybody else is talking about. I'm getting the newest book, I'm reading the latest article, I'm listening to podcasts, and I get so consumed with me growing that I forget about the greatest gift that he could have gave me, which is himself. Or sometimes I take this gift, the Holy Spirit, who is God himself, and I take this gift and I thank him for it, and then I don't engage with it the way he's invited me to. And many of you have been in churches or known people that have abused and manipulated people and situations and have tagged the name of the gift, the Holy Spirit, to it. And I hate that. It wasn't God's desire. And just as much as that damage has been where there's been people over excess and make a lot about the Holy Spirit, I think just as damaging, maybe even slightly more damaging, is the people that just don't even want to acknowledge the Spirit of God and what he does today. And so we do that, and sometimes we receive salvation, we receive this gift, the Holy Spirit, and man, we are going around telling everybody. Man, I'm at McDonald's in the line telling somebody to come to my church. I'm at my desk reading the Bible on every break, and I'm not afraid who sees me do it, and man, I am fired up for Jesus, right? And then something happens, life happens. Man, we know, we're adults, life happens. And somebody says something to me, somebody doesn't like what I like, somebody doesn't, you know, share my post on social media. I don't know where we're at as a culture, but something happens and we get offended. And that offense, man, it just sits there. We don't forgive, we don't give it to the Lord in that moment, and so it's just a stronghold. And then that offense turns into bitterness, and that bitterness has a way to get roots down in us. And before long, my heart is hard, it's calloused. Jesus that I love, my first love, is now seems way out there. And that gift that I was given now seems so far away, and I don't even recognize it. I don't know about you, but these all three, I've been there and done that. But what Jesus said is if you'd ask the Father, he would give it. And so the invitation for all of us this Christmas season is for us to receive the gift, not to receive it and put it down, not to receive it and use it wrongly, not to receive it and forget about it shortly after, but for us to enjoy the gift of the Spirit and to grow and to walk with the Spirit. And as we receive this gift, as we ask the Lord, the Father, to give us this gift, as we do that, we grow and we become more like the Father. You know why? Because the fruit of the Spirit is the nature of God. When we are filled with the Spirit, when we're walking with the Spirit, we look, smell, think more like God. And that's what I want. I want that for you. But that comes from the gift of the Holy Spirit that we're walking with. Now, here's the reality, though. I think there's a fifth option, and this was true in my life, is that I grew up in church and, man, had some great people in my life, but we just never talked about the Holy Spirit. So I didn't even know the Holy Spirit was a gift. I didn't know this. And so no wonder my life was like, there's got to be more. There's got to be more. And in my mid-20s, only through the Spirit, remember who's bringing heaven's heart to earth, the Spirit of God, I got around some people that had a real biblical teaching on the Spirit of God. And I began to ask the Father this question. Father, I believe that you're good. I do believe that. Some days I have a hard time with that, but as much as I can, Lord, I believe you're good. And you said, Jesus, that if I asked the Father that you would give me your Holy Spirit. And I just began to ask him, God, will you fill me with your Spirit? Will you fill me with your Spirit? I still ask that most every day. Lord, would you fill me with your Spirit a new way? I want to know you. I want to see your desires for me on this earth as is in heaven. And I began to walk, and my life began to change. And what I found out is that Holy Spirit is not just the gift. He is the gift. Oh, my goodness. He is the gift that Jesus came to make a way so that you could receive. Do you know that? Jesus said, listen, there's one coming after me. Because God's heart was not just that he would be with us like Jesus, that he would just be with us, but he said, I want to be in you. So the advent of Jesus led us and prepared us for the advent of the Holy Spirit. That's how much God wants to be with you. And what we see is that the Holy Spirit is the gift. Oh my goodness, he's the gift. But you know what else he is? He's a gift giver. And so what we find out, man, as I receive this gift of the Holy Spirit, I find out that, man, he wants to give us more. Man, he wants to give me more. Man, he wants to give me wisdom. Man, as a 35-year-old pastor, listen, I don't have a lot of life experience like a lot of y'all have. I need wisdom from heaven, not wisdom from a book. No, I'm not saying the book, the Bible, I need wisdom from that. I'm talking about a secular book, just to be clear. I need supernatural power to know how to lead, to know how to love my wife. I need insight and wisdom and what we know about the Holy Spirit. He's not just the gift, but he gives us gifts. You can read about it, 1 Corinthians 12. Man, he gives us wisdom. He gives us the ability to heal. He gives us wisdom to know things. He gives us different languages. He is the gift that keeps on giving. Somebody say, come on. And here is the good news about the Spirit and what he wants to pour out today is he doesn't care how old you are. It's like that song, you know, I think Chestnuts Roasting on Open Fire, 0 to 99. You guys know that song. The Holy Spirit has no age limit. And as we, even today, as we ask the Father, Father, will you fill me with your Spirit in a new way? What he wants to give you, and I don't care how long you've been walking with you, he wants to give you more. He wants to give you more. He wants to give you, this is who he is. This is a good God who only gives good gifts, and the Spirit is good. And so as we make much of Jesus in this season, I pray that we would recognize the presence of the Spirit of God on this whole story. Here's the great thing about Jesus, because I know some people are like, man, what if we get too much about the Spirit? Here's what you know, is if we get a lot about the Spirit, guess who else we're going to get a lot about? Jesus. It's not either or. It's Father, Holy God, Son, Holy God, Spirit, Holy God. And what the Father wants for you today is he wants you to receive a new measure of the Spirit. How many of you want the Father's desire in your marriage? Anybody else want that? How many of you want the Father's desire, heaven's heart in your finances? Anybody else besides me in there? How about you want to see the Father's heart for your workplace? Anybody else want to see that? Who wants to see your marriage look more like heaven than hell? Anybody else besides me? Somebody said amen a little loud on that one. How many of you want this church to be all that God designed it to be? How many of you want the Tri-Cities to be a city on a hill for all to come see? Anybody else? You know how that happens? It doesn't happen with a slick program. It doesn't happen with a short and sweet vision statement. It doesn't happen with just hiring the right people. It doesn't happen with giving money. All of these things that we desire are moving the Father's heart from heaven to earth are brought to us by the Spirit working in our life and us saying yes. You say, Derek, is it that simple? Oh man, it looks a lot of different ways, but it begins with asking, and the second step is to say yes. And so today, we're going to end, and we're going to sing one song that is about the Holy Spirit, and I love this song, The Spirit of the Living God. And so I'm going to invite you just to go ahead and stand, and I just want to give you an opportunity just to pray. As we talked about this gift that I believe that Jesus wants to give us, I believe it's the Father's heart. Man, I don't have to believe. I know scripturally that the Father's heart is that we would continually be filled with the Spirit. This is what his desire is. This is why Jesus came, to save us from our sin, to cleanse us from our sin, to make us righteous so that we could house the holy. This is Jesus' desire today, that we would receive the Holy Spirit and everything that he wants to do in our life. And so it begins with asking. This is biblical. This is Jesus. And so I just want to give you a space to say, Father, would you fill me with your Spirit? If this is your desire, there's no shame in that. Just say, Father, will you fill me to a new measure? I'm saying it right now. Father, will you fill me up with your Spirit in a new measure? Will you baptize me in your Spirit so that I can know your heart, so that I can see heaven come to earth? And as we ask, then we always give thanks, and we thanks God. And we don't thank God because we just had a feeling, although sometimes the Spirit comes and we have a feeling. He loves to manifest himself sometimes. But man, never once is it required in the Scriptures. Galatians says that we receive the Spirit by faith, not by feeling. And so can we just thank God right now that his heart is to fill us up with his Spirit, that he's already doing it, and that we're going to see it this week. Can we just thank him right now? Thank you, God. Your heart has always been for your Spirit to dwell in us. All the way back in the prophets of old, Lord, they spoke about the day that your Spirit would be in your people. And so, Lord, we thank you that we are in a time of history that you now dwell not only with us, but in us. And that you are bringing heaven to earth one moment, one holy moment at a time. And so, Lord, let it be so in my life. Let it be in our church life. May we be marked by your Spirit. Lord, we love you. We love you, Jesus. Thank you for making us whole, making us clean so the Spirit can reside in us. Father, thank you for sending your Son, that it was your idea, this whole Christmas story. And so we honor you. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.